Deuteronomy 33, verse 24. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." That's our text. "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." We'd like to think for a few minutes on the subject, what God promised. What God promised. It's very important for Christians to know what God promised. We can claim His promises. We can stand upon them. We can believe them. We can make them our own. Now, if God didn't promise it, then we can't stand on it. We can't claim it. But what God has said and what God has promised belongs to all of us. And we should claim the promises of God. Deuteronomy 33 here is the final blessing of Moses. He's reminding the nation of what God has done and what God will do. And there are precious promises here, just as there are throughout the Bible. If you've read through the Bible, you know that there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of promises found in the pages of God's Word. And behind every one of them is the absolute integrity of the God who made them. Sometimes people make promises, but they don't keep their promises. Perhaps they try, other times they don't even try. But God has never made a promise that He didn't keep or that He couldn't keep. Behind every promise of God is the integrity and the character and the holiness of God. God cannot lie. I rejoice in that today. I heard the story of this fella. He sold furniture. And he said he would be at the dock at a certain time to deliver the furniture to go on this ship. And he said, "If I'm not there, you'll know that I'm dead." Because he said, "I keep my promises." Well, the time came, and this Mr. Smith didn't show up. And the fellow that was buying the furniture went into town and said, "Too bad about that, Mr. Smith." And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, he died, you know. He said he would be at the dock at 2 o'clock, and it's 2:15, and he didn't show. Said he'd be dead if he didn't show, and too bad. He must have died." Well, come to find out, Mr. Smith didn't die after all, and he got a little bit upset, and he said to the fellow later, "Why don't you tell everybody I died?" He said, "Because you said if you wasn't there at 2 o'clock, that you'd be dead. I was trusting you and taking you at your word." So, sometimes people make promises and they don't keep their promises, or maybe they're an hour late. But God's not that way. And as we walk around in God's beautiful flower garden of promises this morning for a few minutes, as we dig deep into His gold mine for a little bit, I'm glad to tell you that God cannot lie. He keeps His promises. First, I want us to consider this promise of our text. To me, it's one of the greatest in the Bible. It's very encouraging, sustaining, where the Lord says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, this is a promise for daily strength. And we don't have to be convinced of our need of strength. We all know that we need far more than physical strength. We need spiritual strength. We need the power within us to do what's right. We need the power within us to do what we should, to make wise decisions, to stay on the Christian pathway. Well, I'm glad the Lord can give us that strength. "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Where does strength come from? It comes from the Lord. How often is it received? Every single day. Some people think you can get enough on Sunday to last you till next Sunday. It doesn't work that way. you eat every day. Even so, you need physical, spiritual food every single day. You need God's Word. You need God's promises. God never misses a day. He promised you strength for every day. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's a precious promise. Strength for every day. The God of Sunday is the God of Monday, is the God of every other day of the week and every circumstance and every situation. And the God who is real here is real in the car and real at home and real at school and real at work and wherever you may be. Strength for every single day. God promised. God knows where you are. He knows what you need. He will help you. You've got His Word on it. What more do you need? It's not some man that promised, I'll be with you, I'll help you, I'll strengthen you. It's God who said, every single day of your life, come to me, I'll help you, I'll strengthen you. That means a lot to me. It's not easy to live the Christian life. If it was, everybody would be doing it. Because people do the easy thing. People do what rivers do, take the course of least resistance. People do what's easy. And that's why very few people live the Christian life, because you're bucking the world, you're bucking false religion, you're bucking the devil, you're bucking the old nature that's in you. It's not easy to live the Christian life, but thank God it's possible. It's possible. By the Spirit of God who lives in you, by the Word of God, the grace of God, the armor of God, it is possible to live the Christian life. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you can't live the Christian life. That's a lie. That's a lie. God promised you that He would strengthen you and He would help you and be with you all the way. Now these promises, they have to be claimed. Just because God said it and put it in the Bible, it means nothing to you unless you read it and think about it and make it your own and personalize it and appropriate it. It's like a lady years ago, somebody sent her a check. She didn't know what a check was. And the preacher came to her house one day and said, what's that thing you got framed there? Some poster or quote? She said, well, I'm not sure what this is, but it says $12,000 on it. And he said to her, well, ma'am, that's a check. She said, well, I didn't know what a check was. And a lot of people treat God's promises that way. They just kind of look at them and admire them. But God's promises are to be cashed. They're to be used. Not fondly considered, but to be translated into everyday living. Not just hung on the wall. So I'm talking about coming to the Lord every day of your life and saying, Lord, you know what I need. You promised you'd help me. I like what King David said to the Lord. He didn't mean it in a presumptuous way. He meant it in a confident way when he said, do as thou hast said. Lord, you said this. And I take you up on it. You promised. You cannot lie. Years ago, before Cheryl and I were married, she and her family promised that they would meet me in Chicago. I was going up there to a Bible conference, and I was to leave the group I was with and to meet them at a certain place, at a certain church, on a certain time. And I'm not going to tell you they weren't there and I walked home from Chicago. I'm going to tell you, they, thank God they were there. They kept their promise. And they picked me up and brought me home. So, if we can trust people, how much more can we trust a God who can do anything, who knows everything? There's no reason to hesitate. God's never failed anybody and you won't be the first one. But you got to make it your own and act upon it. No Christian has to be defeated. I want to give you one more promise. Not only this promise for daily strength, but perhaps the most common promise in the New Testament. Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." That's a promise. That doesn't say everything is good. It just says it all works together for good. And that's a promise that we need to claim in good times, and especially in the hard times when we don't know which side is up and we seem to be out of things, seem to be out of control. God said that everything will work together ultimately for your good, your spiritual good. God is not interested in our luxury or our ease. God's not interested in fulfilling our own purpose, our selfish purpose. But He is interested in making a name for Himself and glorifying Himself through us. And sometimes that takes a very different path from what we expect. We rejoice in God's promise that nothing can happen to us without His permission. Nothing can touch you without God's permission. That's good to know. That's a big consolation sometimes when you're in the valley. God has our good in mind. He's never desired to harm us, but He sure does desire to make us stronger and better and wiser. Because we get content with ourselves, but God never does. Till we are perfect, God is still working on us, chipping away, putting us through the furnace and burning out the impurities, so we'll be worth something. A smooth sailing never made a good sailor. And the darker the night, the brighter the stars. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold. God knows what He's doing. And He intends to make us perfect one day. And that's the why of everything that happens to you. God loves us the way we are. But He loves us far too much to leave us the way we are. Because we're in bad shape. We're sinners. We're depraved. And He's working on us. So He allows hard times, trials and tears and sorrows and valleys and problems. Some of these preachers, so-called, say that if you're right with God, then everything should always go well and no problems. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, I see that the best man in the Old Testament, Job, probably had more problems than all of us put together. And look how the Lord Jesus Christ was treated, and He was perfect. God allows difficulties in our lives, sometimes to correct us, other times to perfect us. And anything that makes us pray is good for us. Anything that makes us humble is good for us. Because anything that makes us proud is bad for us. God never promised us an easy way. He talked about shoes of brass and iron here. He talked about a rough way, a rocky road. Though He didn't promise us an easy way, He did promise us a safe arrival. He didn't promise that the pathway would always be filled with flowers. He didn't promise us no heartaches. He didn't promise things like that. But He did say that no matter what happens to us, it says nothing compared with what is ahead of us. Romans 8:18, "We reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." One day we'll look back upon our lives and say, "I should have never complained. I had nothing to complain about." He said that in all things we're more than conquerors. He said we already have the ultimate victory. It's not that we're wondering how this thing's going to turn out. We already know how it's going to turn out. We've read the last page and we win. We're just running up the score. We've already won. He promised us that we're more than conquerors. He promised us that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. The devil's great, but the Holy Spirit's greater. He promised us that He's working on us and that we're going to be like Christ one day and that all things are working together for our good. Ultimately, because we love the Lord. I like the story of this preacher. He's visiting this fella and he was looking at his Bible. And I don't know why preachers like to do this, but they like to look at people's Bibles. I like to do that. Maybe everybody likes to do that. I don't know. But he noticed in this fellow's Bible that many times the man had written the word proven out beside of various promises. And the preacher said he never forgot it. And you may not do that. You may not write the word proven out beside of Romans 8:28 or other Bible promises. But I'm glad it can be real in your experience. You can say, I've been there, I know that's true, I've tested it and tried it and proven it myself. I know by experience that God is faithful and He keeps His promises and He honors His words. If you've never done that, I encourage you to embark on that adventure of taking God at His word. Because that's what faith is anyway. Taking somebody at their word. Believing what they say. God did not promise you health. He did not promise you wealth. He did say, my grace is sufficient for thee no matter what happens. He did say, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if you have health today, you have more than God promised. You should be thankful. If you have more than your needs met, then you should thank God. That's more than He promised. Philippians 4:19. God only promised to feed us one day at a time. So when you go home to the cupboard and you see enough food in there for a week, then you just ought to be thanking God. He's taking care of you in a bigger and better way than He promised. I like the old story of this lady. Her husband was a preacher back in the 20s. And he'd preach a lot of revival meetings, you know, and be gone some during the harvest time. And she would say to him, you know, if you don't quit being gone so much preaching, we're going to starve to death next year. She couldn't say now because they had plenty of food for now. Well, these people in this place this morning, you've never missed one meal in your whole life. God's taking care of you. That's right. You're riding probably in the best car you ever had, living in the best house you ever lived in. And all that's a bonus and above nothing. God, only God promised you was enough food and clothes on your back. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're so blessed that we don't even look up anymore. I like what Ronald Reagan told Elizabeth Dole. She said, what do you do when you're so inundated with everybody's problems? Where do you look? He said, I look that way. If you're trying to handle it all yourself, you're gonna break down somewhere. But if you look up, you'll find help. God didn't promise that everybody would love you and pat you on the back. If you think the world's going to be glad you're a Christian, I'm sorry, you're in for a disappointment. They could care less. In fact, they like it when you're not a Christian because it kind of makes them feel guilty that they're not Christians and you are, and they know they should be, so they really hope you don't act like a Christian. They are not going to encourage you. If you're going to find any encouragement to live the Christian life, you're going to find it in church and in the Bible. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And you know that. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than I have, and I've been saved 35 years. You're not going to find any encouragement except among God's people and His book. God did not promise you that this would be heaven. This is not heaven. So don't look for paved streets paved with gold and everything to be wonderful. This is not heaven. God did promise heaven one day after a while when this little life is over. So don't drive your stake too deeply because you're leaving like everybody else has. Jesus Christ said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." He promised you everlasting life if you believe on Him. He promised you heaven one day. But not. He didn't say this was heaven. I want to close by saying that God didn't say you'd understand everything. If you understood everything, you wouldn't have to exercise faith. He just asked you, based upon everything that's written in this book and everything you've seen in your own life and the lives of other people, God just asks you to honor Him by trusting Him when you can't trace Him. There are times when God just wants you to believe in His Word and to rest in His care and in His love. God does not want you to worry about one single thing. Because He's God, and if you're saved, you're His child, and He's taking care of His children, and it wouldn't help if you worried all day and night anyway. In fact, it'd just tear you down. Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, fathers and mothers know how to take care of their children. How much more will I take care of you? He said in Matthew 6. He'll take care of you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you know you can turn that promise backwards and it still sounds good? Thee forsake and thee leave? Never will I. Amen. That promise works both ways. I think I like it backwards good as I like it forwards. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. That's what He said. I want to close with this promise. I've just really shared two promises today with God's people. Strength for every day and all things working for your good. But I want to close with this promise. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what God's promised you if you're not a Christian? He promised you He'd save you if you'd ask Him. You know how many people He said no to that asked Him to be saved? None. That's why you're here. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why God's kept you alive and the devil tried to kill you so you could be saved. Behind that promise is all of the power and the integrity of the God who made this universe. For whosoever, put your name there, shall call upon the name of the Lord, ask Him. Shall, not might, not maybe, not 99% of the time, but shall be saved. He promised, if you had asked Him, He'd save you. Some of you need to take Him up on His promise and see if He won't do what He promised He'd do. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray. We're going to have a time of invitation. I appreciate the promises that I find in the Bible. And I want to make them my own in my daily life. Believe them, live by them, claim them, and you can do the very same. God knows where you are. He knows what you need. He promised, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's never turned anybody away. He never will. Our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the joy that is ours. Thank you for the blessing of the Christian life. Lord, I pray you'd bless the invitation. Meet the need of every heart. Lord, help us to trust you and know that all things are in control. All things are working for our good. Lord, sometimes you have to slow us down so we'll look up, so we'll realize where our help comes from, so we'll remember what's really important in this short span of life that we have. Thank you for being so good. We should have been in hell, but Lord, we get to go to heaven by the grace of God. Meet every need. Help us. May your name be glorified and lifted high. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're standing to sing an invitation. The altar's always open. The Lord's spoken to your heart. You know it. He's pricked your conscience. It's something you want to come and pray about. I encourage you to do so as we sing this morning. Just as I am. That's the way we come to Him. Without one plea. Would you come as we sing? As we pray. As God deals with hearts. Would you come? Come on the first verse. Take Him at His word. Believe His promises. He won't lie to you and He won't let you down. He won't disappoint you. Another verse, I invite you to come. He promised if you'd open the door, He'd come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. Sup with him and he with me. Open the door, He'll come in. Invite Him in. He's a Savior by invitation only. You have to invite Him in. Bless honest hearts. Please sing another stanza. Would you come?